Okay, so let's unpack this. The entire music production community, and I mean particularly hip hop and electronic music, is having, well, a collective industry-wide panic right now.
It's a huge freak out.
Right. And the reason is that Spotify just acquired Who Sampled. For anyone who doesn't know, this is probably the largest, most comprehensive database of samples, remixes, covers, pretty much everything.
It's a seismic shift, really. This isn't just, another tech merger.
Yeah.
It's the formal consolidation of creative data, and it's being put right into the hands of the world's biggest distribution platform.
And by extension, the major labels who are so deeply invested in that platform.
Exactly. So for you, our listener, the mission of this deep dive is to really get into why this is being called sample snitching and what the real tangible implications are for the future of music, really.
Absolutely. We're diving deep into the source material that spells out this fear. I mean, historically, Who Sampled has been this amazing fan-driven resource. It's like a musical Wikipedia, right?
Yeah, you can trace the DNA of a song.
Exactly. From a dusty old breakbeat all the way to a massive pop hit. But, and this is the key part, it has always, at the same time, been used as a tool for copyright holders to find infringers.
And now that tool, that resource that was built by the community just for the love of music, is being plugged directly into Spotify's infrastructure. And what's still fascinating is the immediate visceral response from
It's
creators.
like a switch flipped.
It did. It went from being this fun discovery engine to being seen as an existential threat to how certain genres have operated for decades.
And this is where it gets really interesting. One producer's immediate reaction, it just summed up the whole mood on social media, is his frantic personal
I
declaration.
saw that one.
He said, "All of my crimes will be exposed for everyone to see. I'm going to be sued six ways from Sunday."
And that fear, while it sounds dramatic, it really gets to a deep truth about how creativity works now. They feel like they've just handed over essentially the database of the crimes.
That sentiment, that feeling of having your whole history exposed, it just perfectly captures the anxiety running through these production circles. And it's not just paranoia.
No, not at all. It's rooted in the very history of how hip hop and electronic music even
Yeah,
developed.
right.
That's the core tension. I mean, sampling isn't just some incidental part of these genres. It is the culture. It's fundamental. You think back to the late 80s, the 90s, producers were sampling whatever they could get their hands on to make something new.
And that entire artistic culture just smashed right up against, rigid IP law.
And for decades, so many producers, especially the smaller ones, the underground artists, they just flew under the radar.
Meaning they knew the samples were uncleared, but they were betting the song wouldn't get big enough for anyone to notice or care.
Precisely. As long as those songs stayed small, played in local clubs or on some niche streaming site, they were relatively safe. But now, with Who Sampled's data being folded into a system run by the industry heavyweights, that protection, that obscurity is just gone.
It's like the community built this incredibly detailed map of music's legal liability for free.
And now that map is integrated into the system run by the very people who want to charge you for using their land.
The sources we looked at, they really highlight this as being viewed as a form of sample snitching. It feels like the platform itself has turned informant.
It does.
If you're a producer who 10 years ago uploaded a track with an uncleared sample from a famous 70s rock song, that connection is now automatically cataloged, verified by the community, and it's just sitting inside Spotify's servers.
And that level of exposure is magnified because the fear isn't really about Spotify itself. It's about who Spotify works for.
Which brings us directly to the power consolidation.
Yeah, we have to look at the relationship between Spotify and the major labels, Universal, Sony, Warner. They are, and I'm quoting here, heavily in bed with and invested in Spotify.
They're partners.
They're literally partners, and streaming is, by a huge margin, their main source of revenue today.
Yeah.
So they have every reason to protect their back catalogs, especially that valuable legacy content.
And that's where the alarms are really going off. If the labels are all about maximizing revenue, and streaming is how they do it, this acquisition gives them an unbelievably powerful tool. This leads right to what critics like Anthony Fantano are calling the silver platter concern.
Right. The idea is that this whole integration gives the labels the ability, served right up on a silver platter, to easily target anyone sampling from their huge back catalogs.
Work that they used to have to do themselves.
Exactly. Before, A label's legal team had to actually do that work themselves. They'd have to go on Who Sampled, manually search, cross-reference things. It took time and effort.
But now the hip-hop and electronic music communities have basically done all that forensic work for them.
For free. And the concern now is that Who Sampled will no longer be run with the spirit of the community that built it, but purely for the bottom line of the industry giants.
And this data consolidation isn't just about lawsuits, is it? It's a strategic move for Spotify's core business.
Oh, absolutely. The acquisition directly powers their upcoming Song DNA function for premium users. It's all about mapping musical connections.
Okay, let's zoom in on that Song DNA, because this feels like the real game changer for algorithmic control. The goal, as the sources note, is to further datafy everyone's listening experience.
And by knowing all the samples, the collaborations, the covers that link two songs that seem totally different, Spotify gets a whole new dimension of data.
So it's more than just genre or tempo.
Way more. Think about it. Normally, an algorithm might suggest music based on, you know, genre or artist similarity. But with this sample layer, the algorithm can recommend an old, obscure jazz track to a modern hip-hop fan.
Simply because it knows that hip-hop artist sampled that jazz track a bunch of times in their catalog.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which drives traffic back to the original source material, which is almost always owned by the major labels. It kind of bottlenecks listeners into even tougher to break algorithm.
So it weaponizes context in a way. It makes it easier for the platform to consolidate listening habits and maybe even limit the discovery of new artists who aren't part of those established sample streams.
That's a real concern.
So, okay, while the danification and the panic are setting in, let's pivot to the legal reality here. The whole process of clearing a sample is described over and over in the source material as the Wild West.
It really is. The producers might be infringing, but the system itself is often just broken.
And a key issue that creators point to is just fundamental awareness.
Right. The majority of music creators literally just don't know that they're supposed to get two separate licenses when they sample something. So
yeah.
Many of them think that if the sample is short, it's fair use.
Which is a huge legal misunderstanding.
A major one.
Yeah.
And look, this isn't just an issue for, you know, small bedroom producers. We've seen huge creators like Kanye or others deep into their careers who still just freely sample, get into hot water, and then try to clear it retroactively.
After the song is already out.
After it's released, yeah. And they can do that because they have the money to make it right after the fact.
A luxury most producers just don't have.
Not at all. And when they do try to play by the rules, the clearance road is so often blocked, which forces them into infringement or just forces them to scrap a great idea.
And the big misunderstanding is what you're even licensing. Let's make this crystal clear for the listener. When you sample a track, you need to clear two separate copyrights. What are they?
Okay, so first you have the master recording. That's the license for the specific sound you're taking. That copyright is almost always owned by the record label.
So the actual audio file you're chopping up.
Correct. But then you also need to clear the underlying composition or the publishing rights. This is about the musical structure, the lyrics, the melody, the song itself. And that's held by the songwriter or their publisher.
So even for a tiny drum loop, you have to go to two separate places, two different legal owners, and get two different deals.
Yep. And that leads directly to the roadblocks producers constantly face.
The first one being?
The first is usually just silence. The producer reaches out, they detail how they're going to use the sample, and the label or publisher, they just don't respond.
At all.
At all. And if they stay silent, the producer can't move forward. The liability is just too great to risk, so they have to take the sample out.
And the second roadblock is price?
The inflated price, yeah.
Yeah.
They might actually get a response, but the rights owner asks for way too much money. And we're not talking a few $100s.
No.
They might ask for a huge upfront fee, or even more critically, they'll demand a huge chunk of the song's publishing rights, like 50% for a 2-second sample.
Which usually happens when you're sampling someone famous, right?
Almost always. When you're sampling popular music, that source material comes with this incredibly inflated price and really complex ownership. For a small artist, giving away half the potential income from their new track is just economically crippling.
So, given the danger of this Who Sampled acquisition and how hard the clearance process is, let's pivot and give you, the listener, some actionable knowledge. What's the best way to do sample clearance right now?
Well, the process, while it's a bit bureaucratic, it starts with identification. You have to use repertoire searches like BMI or ASCAP in the U.S. or whatever the equivalent service is abroad to find the rights owners for the composition.
And for the master.
For the master, you're usually looking at services like Discogs or even a quick Google search to find the original label. Then you begin your outreach.
Right, you have to outbound to both the master owner and the composition owner, and email usually. Be formal, state your interest, detail the song, and be really specific about how long the sample is and where you'll use it.
And crucially, as we mentioned, you need licenses for both the actual recording and for interpolations. So if you just remake the instrumental yourself, it still counts as a musical use, and you still need authorization.
Okay, so what happens when a producer gets caught, maybe through this new hyper-efficient data system?
They're almost always found because their music got popular. The rights owner finds the track, maybe through Who Sampled or some other monitoring service, and the conversation is basically, hey, it looks like you made a bunch of money and you're using my IP.
And the first step isn't always a lawsuit, right?
In most cases, no. The sources suggest the rights owner's first move is to demand payment and start a negotiation, a payout. It's based on what the infringing song has already earned.
So it's basically a forced license agreement after the fact?
Pretty much. They'll often demand a high percentage of future royalties, too. But while that negotiation is common, we have to be clear. The potential exposure is still a full-blown copyright infringement lawsuit. You can't unring the bell once you're caught.
And having that data inside Spotify just makes it that much easier to get found.
Absolutely.
So if you're looking to avoid that risk entirely, especially if you have a limited budget, the safer solutions are really the way to go.
Definitely. Using royalty-free sample packs or services like LoopCloud or Splice.
Splice is a great example of this, right?
It's a perfect example of how the new music economy can work safely. For every single sample you download, they give you a certified license. And that is so powerful.
Why is that?
Because it means both the master and the composition rights for that little sound have been pre-cleared for commercial use. That license is your official authorization. It's verifiable proof that protects you from future legal problems. It's a clean creative path. It completely eliminates that Wild West guesswork.
So to tie this all together, we're seeing that Spotify's acquisition of Who Sampled is strategically linked to rolling out their song DNA feature.
Yeah, this interactive feature that maps all the connections, the collaborators, samples, and covers.
Yeah.
And the big panic-inducing question is how this feature is going to dramatically amplify the searchability of unauthorized sampling.
And while that panic is definitely understandable, I mean, the exposure for copyright infringement is a very real threat, and it's magnified by this consolidation. The reality for creators is often either negotiating that payout or just shifting entirely to pre-cleared sources.
Right.
So what does this all mean for you, the creator, and the listener? The acquisition is a done deal. The data is integrating into the world's largest streaming platform. It's creating, effectively, the most efficient infringement hunting database ever made.
Which brings up a really important question that the production community is already debating.
Which is?
Well, if Spotify is consolidating all this data to power their algorithms, and in doing so making it easier for deep-pocketed labels to hunt down infringers, shouldn't they also be expected to leverage that same data to create a system that helps smaller creators license samples easily and affordably?
Instead of just helping with the lawsuits.
Exactly. It's an issue of balance, right? Leveraging data for discovery versus leveraging it for liability. If the platform has the data to identify the source of a sample, it surely has the data to facilitate the transaction. And that's something worth mulling over the next time you hear a killer, but maybe very expensive, sample in a new track.